know what time it is. Time to hang out
with Mr. Cool.
With Mr. Cooper. With Mr. Cooper. With Mr. Cooper.
Get the lady school.
From Mr. Cooper. From Mr. Cooper. From Mr. Cooper.
Hang with Mr. Cool.
With Mr. Cooper. With Mr. Cooper. With Mr. Cooper.
Get the lady school.
From Mr. Cooper. From Mr. Cooper.
Welcome to the Bit Scoop with Coop. I'm your host, Coop. Big shout out to everybody that's listening right now on Apple Podcasts or iTunes, iHeartRadio, Spotify, TuneIn Radio, Stitcher, or wherever you're listening to. Also, don't forget, if you want to see the video recording of this show, make sure you go to thebitscoopwithcoop.com where you can catch episodes from season one all the way now. Also, you can catch me on Facebook, facebook.com/thebitscoopwithcoop. Also on Instagram, you can catch me there at Big Scoop with Coop, and on YouTube at The Bit Scoop with Coop. All right, people, enough about me. Today's guest, you've seen him on Drumline. You've seen him on Uncle Drew. You've seen him on Talk Me Great. You have actually seen him on Atlanta. Now you can catch him on Teal. His acting career is just going sky high. The sky's the limit for this guy, but he's going to bust that limit. Ladies and gentlemen, Mr. Enid King. Now, Enid has got the role of Johnny B. Washington in the movie Teal. So you can see this whole cast doing their thing in this movie Teal. Make sure you go watch Teal. If you don't know anything about Emmett Till, this movie will teach you something about it. So make sure you go check it out. You will check out the value of this movie. You will check out the cast and crew, how they put their time, their energy, their dedication into this movie. So go check it out. It's in theaters right now. Ladies and gentlemen, sit back, relax. And let's wrap it up with Enid King. Enid King, welcome to the show.
What's going on, man? How you doing?
Man, I am good. I'm good. How's your day so far?
Man, it's been great. Just doing silly stuff, man. Posting stuff on IG. Having fun, man. I love the career that I have, man. I love the life that I have. And I just want to enjoy it all the way.
Man, you're doing it. You're doing it.
Appreciate it, man.
Yes, sir. I've told the world, man. You know, your career has been going on fire. For many years, you're nowhere close to being through with your career.
That's Amen.
The crazy part about
Amen.
It.
Amen. Yes. Absolutely.
So for people that's been living under a rock that don't recognize who you are, like I told them, man, you are the man, you're the original Drumline. You are the section leader of the Tubas.
Yes, sir.
Yes, sir. I haven't forgotten that.
Yo, man, that was so crazy. I remember when we went there that day. And I remember we had a rehearsal and everybody was saying their lines and stuff. And I'm just sitting there thinking like, yo, if you trying to talk about your section, man, we got to go all the way out. And so everybody was like, yeah, man, the saxophone section, man. Yeah, this section. I was like, man, Tuba section are the most important band in this band. This band, boy. Man, I hit that. And the director, he was like, yep. Keep that.
I'm not gonna lie, because I think everybody was caught off guard. Everybody was all calm when they're talking about theirs, and you just came out of the blue like, "Wow!" I was like, yeah. "Okay."
You got to hit them like that, man. It's so remembered. One of my friends, he was in a band in college. He was like, "Yo, man, Drumline's our Bible." So when he saw me again, he was like, "Yo, I got to put you on IG. I want people to see and everything." So that is the power of just creating moments and stuff mm-hmm. like that, not worrying about where you are on the call sheet. Just if you create a moment, people remember that, and I'm grateful for that.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir. Now let me ask you this, Annie. When did you first realize that you wanted to become an actor?
Man, I fell in love. I tell people, man, acting was my first love. Acting was the first thing I fell in love with. And that's a beautiful thing, because she has been beautiful and loving and not so beautiful and not so loving. But it was actually in 10th grade. I remember I learned Mark Antony's eulogy from Julius Caesar. And I remember that I understood what was being said, even though I hadn't really studied Shakespeare before. And I loved it so much, man. I was just going around in different classes. I went in my political science class and my math class. I was like, I know we got class, but can I do this? Can I do this speech, please? Can I do this monologue? Please, please, please. And I fell in love from that moment. And then my artistic father, Freddie Hendricks, he was the drama director at Tri-Cities High School, which is Magnet School. I was in chorus and he saw me do a monologue. He was like, you need to be in drama. And I was like, okay. So I dropped chorus and I joined drama and I've been doing it ever since, man. Wow. Yeah.
That's crazy. Yeah, and, you know, I told people in the past 10 seasons. So ladies and gentlemen, watching worldwide, you heard me say this before. I'm going to say it again. And Enoch, I'm going to tell you like I tell everybody else. Stop me if I'm wrong. If you have a love for something in the beginning at a young age and you feel it, that can follow you for your whole life.
Absolutely. That's absolutely 100%. I add on to that as well. Like, no matter when you find that love, just ride with it. Ride with the love. A lot of people think like, oh, I can't get it started because I didn't have that love in the beginning. It's like, no, if it's there, man, if that love is there, then you gotta just invest in that love. But that investment requires putting in the work. And that's one of the things, man, that I really, really try to push people to address. Like, what are you doing this for? Are you doing it for the fame? Because you can get that, mm-hmm. but are you doing it to create a legacy in the arts? If you want to do that, that requires work and just putting in that work, man. And I'm proud of the work that I put in, because when I focused on the work, then everything else gets added on. So all those other things are just icing on the cake. The cake is the work. The cake is what I invest in. And once that happens, man, it's moments like that when people go, yo, I remember you from Drumline. I remember you from Madea's Family Reunion. You was on the bus, right? Yeah, man, yeah. Don't start Tyreka and all of that stuff. And that you can feel like, oh, man, they only remember me for that. But it's like, yeah, but they remember you. You know what I'm saying? And keep doing the work and they'll keep remembering you.
That's so true. Now, in it, what type of hurdles did you go through to get to where you are in your career today?
Fear. Fear was my number one hurdle. I just got to a space where I recognized what it was and how it really dictated a lot of my decisions that I made. A lot of the decisions that I made in my career and in my life were based on fear. The foundation was fear. And I had to have a conversation with myself and be like, listen, I know you are afraid, but we can't let that be the foundation of it, because then you won't be willing to make moves. And so once I came to that understanding, I just understood a lot better what I can do and what I can bring to the table. And so that was my number one thing. And the other thing was really just understanding and not getting too invested in other people's journeys. And I got a lot, man, the people that I know, you know what I'm saying? The people that I know growing up and still know, like I grew up with Sa Gouja and Saquon Assembler, Kenan Thompson. You know what I'm saying? I grew up with a squad of talented people who were just hitting and hitting and hitting. And if you let it, you can let that dictate how you feel. You can turn it into resentment and jealousy. Mm-hmm. And one of my friends, Keith Hale, he told me one time, because he saw me feeling the type of way about something. He was like, listen, my journey ain't your journey. Don't focus on me. You focus on what you bring to the table. And that's the thing that I always constantly remind myself of. It never goes away. But like I say, nowadays, those feelings, they don't have the power, but they do have a place. I can acknowledge the place that it's in me, and I can use it for my art, actually. I can use that fear and I can use that resentment and for the art and apply it that way, but not incorporate it into my personal life, into my actual space.
You know what? Now, Enoch, that's deep right there. That's really deep, because you see, I think if a lot of people, that's especially is watching this right now, if they grew up in that circle that you grew up in, two things would have happened to the original person. One, they would have been like, okay, I see what they did. I'm not going to reach that level. Or two, they will be trying to use them as stepping stones and not try to build their own path. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
They would try to say, hey, I know this person. I know that person.
Yep.
And they would think they will automatically get whatever role or whatever shot they need automatically. Absolutely. And it doesn't work like that in the industry. It really don't.
Not at all. Not if you want legacy. Like, what do you want? And you got to be honest. You got to have an honest specific conversation with yourself, and you got to be as real as you possibly can with yourself and not be afraid to say out loud the things that you desire. That's what happens a lot of times. We want to keep it in. It's like, no, speak it out, manifest it. And put in the work. Study these lines, study these scripts, man. Learn, read. I tell people the first thing when they ask me how to do it, I'm like, read. That's what I did. I just read newspapers, novels. I love horror anthologies, comics, reading, man, watching the shows that you want to be a part of, getting the rhythm of that show, and just jumping out there, man. Yeah,
you're definitely right. Now, did you, even though you named that circle and you talked about your father also, but did you have any mentors to help you along from the beginning of your career all the way up to now?
Yeah. Like I said, my artistic father, Freddie Hendrix, like that's my dad in the arts. You know, I have my real biological dad, but Freddie saw something in me that I didn't even know I had in me. And he had a theater company, the Freddie Hendrix Youth Ensemble of Atlanta. And a lot of those people that I talk about and a whole bunch more were a part of it. And I learned about creative and like positive competition. We would compete for roles, but it wasn't, oh, you got it. Oh, I can't believe you got it. I'm better than you. It was like, oh, you got it, man. Congratulations. Get that. Hey, man, make sure you on your P's and Q's, man, because I'm still learning. I'm going to come after it, man. You better make sure you show up to rehearsal because I'm coming after it. And that's where I learned. And that's what I tried to incorporate. A lot of us try to incorporate just going out to these auditions because there's this idea that you have to, like, be cutthroat. It's like, no, man, what's yours is yours, what's mine is mine. If me and you going out for auditioning, you get it, I'm big up in you, bigger than you are. I'm like, yo, man, Coop got it, y'all. He about to, man, it's about to be ignorant, man, because that's yours.
Right.
So Freddie taught me that. Freddie taught me to invest in love. He taught me to invest in loving myself. And we had a teacher in school, like, telling us and sincerely saying, I love you. And a lot of people, a lot of young adults didn't really get that from someone outside of their family speaking that and speaking into them. And it's one of those things, again, that I try to impart with people. Just be like, yo, man, there is greatness in you. There is love in you. And so he really facilitated that more than anybody. I have a lot of other mentors, but like, Freddie Hendrix is that dude.
Man, big shout outs to Freddie Hendrix. Big shout outs to everything you've done for Enid. Yes, continue to teach others. Continue to do what you do, Freddie. Absolutely. I hope you're watching right now, man. Big up soon. Now, Enid, you're not just an actor, man. You're an award winner.
Hey, appreciate it, man.
Yes, sir. So let me make sure I'm pronouncing this right. Is this the Susie? Is it the Susie Bass Award?
It's the Susie Bass Awards. Mm-hmm. It's the regional theater award for Atlanta. It was named after Susie Bass, who was an actress, a well-known actress in Atlanta, and they honored her by naming the awards after her. And so I won the best supporting actor role for the associate in Christians by Lucas Nath. I think that's how you pronounce his name. Yep. He did A Doll's House and A Doll's House Part 2. Mm-hmm. And that role, man, was so beautifully written. The script is so beautifully written. But the role I'm very close to, because it was an associate pastor who was speaking about his mother and witnessing his mother passing away and trying to get her to understand, like, just say you accept God, and she wouldn't. And watching her, in his mind, watching her like fall and how that impacted him. Because the story as a whole is about a preacher who pays off his church. And the next sermon, he tells the people of the church, like, we don't believe in hell. And the ramifications of everything that happens after that, to say that to the church. That role is so close to me because my mother passed in 1997, like just as I was starting my career. So she only got a chance to see me one time on stage when I did Dreamgirls in high school. And so everything else after my career has been after her passing. So I understood that connection of wanting somebody to see something that you bring to the table in certain ways. And so it was a really powerful piece. And, you know, I came back from a show. I was in Florida. I came back and I went to the awards and I was just sitting there. And, you know, there are moments when you feel like, yo, this is mine, man.
Yep.
This is mine.
Yep.
And they called my name. And I remember I went up there and I held it and I looked at it and I thought about my mom. And I just, and I thought about how much I wanted it. It was so crazy. I thought about how much I really wanted this award. And I looked at it. I was like, okay. And now we continue to move. So it was two things happening at one time. So I'm so grateful for it. And I'm nominated for two individual Susie Boss Awards this year. One for Toni Stone, where I played Millie, her her friend, and one for The Light, which is this, Lord, this piece. I got to be on stage with my best friend, Cynthia D. Barker, and it was just us on stage for 90 minutes, and we gave everything we had to give. And I'm so proud of that show. I'm so proud of the playwright, Lloyd Webb, what she wrote. It was absolutely phenomenal. And I'm proud that Atlanta got to see a show like that, especially the conversation, especially with Black men and Black women, what it spoke about.
Yes, yes. Now, Enoch, I want to add on to that real quick. As far as it goes for your mother, you said that's the only one that she got to see. But in my belief, I believe she's up there in heaven and they got that big old movie theater screen going and they seen everything you're doing. And she's turned around and said to Jesus, and to everybody else up there, that's my baby. My baby won that award.
I know it. I've had experiences. Mm-hmm. I've had experiences where she is. I have felt her in the place. Yeah. I felt her in the space. And it is one of those things that I acknowledge, acknowledging her spirit and her essence.
Yes.
And still also having the awareness of that desire to see her face again. So it's one of those things that keeps me pushing. I'm making sure I'm making her proud in everything that I do.
And you continue to do it, Enoch. Please do, because I said, your career nowhere close to being done. And if you feel, I want you to continue to feel that spirit of your mother too, because I can tell that's pushing you also to that next level. So continue to do that. Now, let's talk about this real quick. Now, you was on Ptolemy Gray. Yes. And Atlanta. Now, how excited were you when you actually received roles on both of those?
Oh man, it was so surreal, and it happened. Both of them happened last year. It was so surreal. I did the audition for Ptolemy Gray, and I completely forgot about it. I did it at the end of February. I did audition and forgot about it, and that's what we do. You give, and then you let it go. Mm-hmm. And then 2 weeks later, they were like, "Hey, they wanted to do a." They want to do a virtual callback with the director and the casting director for the show. And it was under Memories for the call sheet. And I was like, okay, like I forgot what it was. And so I get up there and I'm with the director and the casting director and we read through the role they gave me. And then once I finished, it's like, can you read this other role? And I read the other role and then they were like, thank you. And then they hit me up and said, we want you to read the role of Alfred. And I was like, cool. I didn't even know who he was. And then I read through the script and I was like, yo, I've never played a role like this before. And I worked on it with my friends. I talked to my best friend, Cynthia. Again, she's an actress in Atlanta as well from Southfield, Michigan. Got to make sure I say that. But she was like, listen, when you do this part, do this monologue, man, just look directly at the camera, don't blink, don't move. And I did it. And the director just was like, man, like he was shook. And I remember after I finished with that, I said, I don't know what I'm getting in this series, but I'm getting something. Mm-hmm. And then my birthday, they hit me up and said, we want to cast you as Alfred. And I got to be on and all my scenes were with Sam Jackson, and it was so crazy because I did a show in 2014, Two Trains Running, where LaTanya Jackson was the director, Sam's wife, and so he was there one day, and we took a picture, and I remember we took a picture standing side by side on this wall, and I remember I posted it, and I said, one day we're going to be working together.
You spoke.
And then it came back around, and I remember when that happened, I remember when they called me, man, I just broke down crying, because I was like, man, that's a manifestation that that I knew would happen, but the way it happened, and to be in that space with that kind of role, so that was amazing. And Atlanta was similar. I like doing readings when they asked if somebody can be a reader for scripts. So Chase Paris asked me to read for Atlanta. I did a table, just a virtual read so they could hear the script. Mm-hmm. And I did it. And then I submitted an audition for the role, for the D'Angelo role. And I was heading up to South Carolina to chill out, and halfway up there, they were like, yo, so you booked the role, when can you come and test? And then we was like, oh, great. So we grabbed some food and headed right on back. So it was so much, that was so much fun too. And again, it was just me and Donald Glover. And I love that, those moments that were happening. It's like, nope, it's you and him. It's you and Sam Jackson. It's you and Donald Glover. And knowing that I deserve to be in that space and not letting the fear overwhelm me. So I was so grateful.
Now, you know what? Everybody that's watching worldwide, I don't know how many times Enid got to say this. You better start speaking your stuff into existence.
Amen.
Because there's a lot of things that you're missing right now in your life that you could be doing or could be receiving, but you're holding back, feeling like you're not good enough. Enid is a prime example. This dude was speaking stuff, posting stuff, and look at what's happening. Amen. I mean, geez, this Amen. Man's sky's the limit. Now, we're going to talk about, and this is almost not a limit, but we're going to add up, we're going to climb up on the sky a little bit more. Let's now, how excited were you to receive the role of Johnny B. Washington in the movie Till?
That, again, was a moment that I didn't realize was going to happen. I just invested in the work. They asked me once again to be a reader for the script. And I was the male reader. And so a lot of the roles hadn't been cast yet. And so I read like 15 roles. And so, yeah, it was just different. And I'm making decisions and doing it. And I read for Mose Wright, who was Emmett's uncle. Mm-hmm. And I remember distinctively because Danielle Detweiler, you know, she got cast as Mamie Till, and you know, we've worked together for many years. I've known her for a long time, man. Phenomenal, phenomenal person, phenomenal artist. And I remember I was sitting there. I was like, I heard in my head, I was like, yo, this isn't about you getting a role. It's about you making sure that they hear what they need to hear. And so I went in and I just gave what I could give. I gave everything I could give. And then a day later, they hit me up and they were like, hey, they want to offer you the role of Johnny B. Washington. I was like, yo. it was an alignment because for a couple of years in the past, because now I'm gray with a beard with grays, I played Emmett Till in a play called Anne and Emmett, which is an imaginary conversation between Anne Frank and Emmett Till. Mm-hmm. And so I've been connected with Emmett on so many different levels. I got a chance to meet his family when we did the show in Chicago. I got a chance to meet Simeon, who was there with him the night he got taken. Mm. And I was so I was so honored. And I wanted to make sure that I did him justice because his story is something that needs to be told and continually told and understood. And I wanted to make sure that I just interpreted him in the correct way. And the love I received from the family just really invigorated me. and just let me know, like, when I focus on the work, then everything else comes out. And so to be out there and to be a part of this story, a part that I really didn't know about. I didn't know about Johnny B. Washington and the implications that there were Black men that were involved in his kidnapping,
right,
and murder, was surreal. You know, we had moments, and Jima, he played Henry Loggins, mm-hmm, in the movie. There were moments, man, where we would be doing, and they would yell cut, and he was like, yo, man, I just need a second. And he would just go walk, man. I would just kind of decompress, because it wasn't violent. It's not, they're not showing the violence of it. It's just what the moment is. Yeah. We were on the bridge with, you know, pulling a body, and they got the cotton gin. And there was just so much that I remembered watching and remember reading about and hearing about. And I was like, yo, this is surreal.
The realness came out.
We were so protected on that set. They had a therapist and people just coming in, jeez, and checking in with people and being like, you good? Do you need anything? The director, everyone, just the investment of making sure that people were okay. And that's so important nowadays. People assume that we're just saying lines. We are opening up ourselves to these characters and everything that they bring to the table. And we've seen on multiple occasions what happens if you don't have an outlet to express that and get that out, that it can mess with you. And so I've never been one to, I go all the way in, and I understand what that means, but I also have outlets in order to, you know, release that stuff. Positive outlets, yeah. Like, you know, yeah, no, I get you. On the show, I may have a drink or two and everything, hey, like that, but you know, I'm gonna be real with you, I'm gonna be honest. Yeah. But yeah, it's just other ways of doing it. But it's important to release those things to help you grow.
Man, ladies and gentlemen, go watch the movie Till, because if you don't know about Emmett Till, you're going to know when you watch this movie. You definitely will. They have invested so much time and energy and emotion into this movie. Forget the money part. Look at the emotion, the energy they're going to put into this movie. You will walk out knowing more than what you knew when you walked in. Make Amen. Sure you go check it out.
Absolutely.
Big shout outs to the whole cast and crew of Till. Big shout outs to them. Now, also, I will go back to this manifestation thing, mm-hmm, and speaking it. And I got a question for you.
Yes, sir.
And this is going to show you, everybody, what speaking into existence mean. Now, Enoch, could you tell everyone some other television shows and movies that you have appeared in your career?
I did Medea's Family Reunion. I was in Uncle Drew. I was in this film called Party Boat. I played like a pirate. It was so much fun. Mm-hmm. I was in two episodes of House of Pain. What else? Kevin Probably Saves the World.
Yep.
This stuff I know I'm forgetting.
that's okay.
A lot of commercials, man. I did a Georgia Lottery commercial. There's a couple of Georgia Lottery commercials. My first commercial was a Golden Corral commercial where I got to have a stunt double and I had to roll out of a car and everything. And it was cold at night. And we just kind of rolled on the ground. It was like wintertime. It was like, all right, man, this is the price of being an actor. So, but yeah, these are the roles. I have some stuff coming up. Can't talk about it, but I'm excited for this next project and stuff that's coming up. But yeah, man, it's been wonderful.
Ladies and gentlemen, the reason why I asked that question, because you see, Enoch didn't just wake up in the morning and these roles were just thrown on him. He knew what he wanted to be as an actor. He knew he wanted to climb up and look at him. He is a human resume builder. That's exactly what Enoch is. And he's doing this thing. Seriously. Yeah. Now, what is the best way for everyone to follow you on social media to keep up with everything that you're doing?
On IG, it is Enoch A. King. And I'm really happy that it's still that, because they disabled and deactivated my account like Monday. And I was like, bro, please. I'm about to do this interview. Please don't make me start over. But they brought it back up. So Enoch A. King, that's it. On Facebook, it's Enoch Armando King, A-R-M-A-N-D-O King. And I'm not really on Twitter.
You and me both. I'm saying,
It's just
a page, but I don't even use it.
Exactly. I posted maybe 2 times and I was like, all right, well, I'm good. I'm good.
Yep. It don't got the same feel, man. I know it's an eh for me. That's how I am on Twitter. Now, I'm not dissing anybody that use Twitter religiously. That's your thing. Me, I just walk on by.
I feel you. I'm also represented by Houghton Talent in Atlanta, and my manager is Shaw Ross with Ross Stevens and Associates.
Yep. Make sure I say that right. Big shout out to Shaw.
Yeah. She hooked this up, man. I'm so happy, man. I love your energy, brother, man. This is phenomenal.
Thank you. Now, Enoch, what advice would you give any male or female that wants to become a successful actor or actress?
First, ask yourself what it is that you want in terms of the art, like what it is that you're looking to do and to build. I say read scripts. Scripts are very accessible. You can go online and you can find television scripts. You can find plays, TV and film scripts. Just continue to read. And you know, with all the outlets that we have, with all the cameras and everything like that, just putting yourself on camera, getting some monologues together, and just seeing what it is that you see, what it is you want to work on. There are acting classes, a lot of acting classes in Atlanta specifically, like Evolve Atlanta is really good. Alliance has a great acting class. They have a lot of film and TV classes around as well. Mm-hmm. So that is the start of it. But the main thing, but first and foremost, you ask yourself what it is that you really want to achieve in this. I work as an acting coach. I like coaching people. I like doing individual, but I'm very specific about who I work with. Because it's understanding how I value my time. I work with people that want to do the work. If you're trying to get to all that other stuff, that's fine. You can work with somebody else. And it's no love lost.
Right.
But when you come to me, it's business, it's grind. It's work, man. I'm trying to work with somebody that's trying to build something that's going to last, something that you can be proud of. So that's how I apply myself. And so I'm very specific about who I work with, but I'm always open to take on new people and stuff like that.
That's what's up. Now, Enoch, this is the last segment of the show. It's called Take the Floor. So you got up to 2 minutes to say whatever you want. No questions asked. Enoch King, take the floor.
Listen, this time of my life, I've been working and understanding what it is to manifest, what it is to speak honestly and truthfully and sincerely to yourself about what it is that you desire. I have a group, it's a group of us, they're called the Tribe of Five. It's five artists, Black men. We sit down, we talk on Marco Polo, we talk to each other, we encourage each other, and we just continue to remind each other, like, yo, what you bring to the table is important, and you need to value that more than anybody else, and watch how the world moves around you and revolves around you. So there's a theme of manifestation that's been happening around this whole conversation, and I gotta be in alignment and recognize what that is. There, it's important to speak about what it is that you desire, and then watch how everything begins to move around you to get you to the place that you want to get to. But the work, I love the work. Mm-hmm. I love the work. I want to be on a whole other level of artistry. I want to do things that even I can't imagine myself doing. And in order for that to happen, I have to speak it like it's already here. And so I speak on that end of it, the manifestation, and I also speak about the work. And And work with the people around you. There are a lot of people around you who are going to support you, and a lot of people around you who can help you get to the next level. Just don't be afraid. Don't let your fear dictate and be your foundation for your promise and your purpose, man.
Whew. Whew. That's deep, people. I guess the word of the day is manifestation. That's the word for the day. Make sure you're speaking into existence, whatever you're trying to do in life, people. I don't care if you're trying to be a plumber or you're trying to be the next person to win an Emmy. I don't care what you're doing.
Speak into existence. Be the best plumber you can be. The best plumber you can be.
Dang right.
You know what I'm saying?
Enoch, thank you for coming on the show, man. I really enjoyed it. The whole world enjoyed it. And I would love to have you back on in the future.
Absolutely, man. I'm looking forward to it. Thank you again, Coop, man. This was wonderful. Wonderful.
Yes, sir. All right, people, on the next episode of The Bit Scoop with Coop, my next guest is, you know, I'll never announce my next guest. You better sit back and watch.
I'm waiting.
On social media. You better find out who it's going to be. All right, people, until the next time on The Bit Scoop with Coop. Peace. All right.